Mitchell. This is MealPod.com. Low week in Georgian and English coming to you from the Glasgow Central Library, Clydeside. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of August, 2017. On this date, in 1492, Christopher Columbus set sail from Spain on his first voyage. 1923, Calvin Coolidge becomes the 30th president upon the death of Warren G. Harding in San Francisco at the Palace Hotel. Or was it across the street from the Palace Hotel over the House of Shields bar at the fanciest bordello in town? 1934, Adolf Hitler merges the office of the German Chancellor and President, declaring himself Führer. 1936, Jesse Owens wins the 100-meter dash, defeating Ralph Metcalf at the Berlin Olympics. Birthdays are elevator inventor Elisha Otis in 1811, celebrity Martha Stewart 1941, and quarterback Tom Brady 1977. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Robin Borthner. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Vice President Mike Pence and well-known pendejo visited this week as part of his trip to Eastern Europe, Georgia, Estonia, and Montenegro. In Tbilisi, he met with President, Prime Minister, and Patriarch, as well as opposition leaders from the UNM, European Georgia Free Democrats, and Development Movement. The core message of all of them, he said, the core message to all of them, he said, came from Trump and was simply that the United States and Georgia shared values and that the U.S. stood by Georgia's freedom. He characterized Georgia as a stable geopolitical ally and an important strategic partner. Indeed, shoring up alliances with Russia's neighbors following pro-Russian statements made by Trump has been the general narrative of the international press regarding Pence's tour. 24 civil service organizations anticipated Pence's visit, civil society organization anticipated Pence's visit with a lengthy open letter. Beyond their general praise for U.S. support against Russia and for Georgian democracy, they identified three issues for the United States that they hope would be addressed through Pence. Otsneva's constitutional reforms, judicial corruption, and media independence, and the lack of oversight on police activities. The letter also softly pushed for further U.S. military investment, protection, and future NATO membership. As we reported last month, Pence was officially here to launch the two-week NATO Noble Partner exercise taking place in western Georgia. Over 2,800 troops will take part in the drills, including 800 Georgians, 1,600 U.S. military personnel. Other participating nations include Armenia, Germany, Slovenia, Turkey, Ukraine, and the United Kingdom. For the event, U.S. military equipment was either ferried from Bulgaria to the port in Poti or transported by rail or military aircraft. Defense Minister Levani Zoria said at the opening ceremony that these drills were one of the largest ever to take place in Georgia, and it's an important step to helping Georgia reach NATO standards. At the ceremony, Pence gave his major address. In short, he reaffirmed long-established positions but pushed for nothing new. Beyond a lot of praise for Georgia's participation in NATO and its democratic efforts, he made three main points. First, he stood by a U.S. statement on the 2008 Bucharest summit, which declared that Georgia would eventually join NATO, but he gave no timeline. Second, he promised that U.S. would continue funding the substantial NATO-Georgia package, which has been providing military expertise and resources to Georgia since 2014. Third, he condemned Russia's occupation of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, saying that sanctions on Russia will not be lifted until the actions which caused those sanctions are reversed. These statements have been quickly backed up by a congressional bill enacted on the 2nd of August yesterday, sanctioning Russia alongside Iran and North Korea. The bill condemned Russia for violating the 2008 ceasefire by remaining in Georgian territory and being a continued threat to Georgia and Ukraine. It also called for $250 million to be allocated to eventually enlarge NATO to include Georgia and Montenegro, among other countries. Some of that money will also go to combat the instability in Georgia created by Russia's occupation, including counter-propaganda. The bipartisan congressional bill was for Republicans in Congress to try to inoculate themselves from the fact that Trump is a Kremlin asset. The Pence visit in some ways is similar. Pence is trying to set himself up to be sufficiently presidential that when Trump goes, he will be allowed to stay. From his point of view, this trip is a part of that, to appeal to the Atlanticists in the United States as a group that Trump has alienated because he doesn't really care very much. Pence is trying to say that he does or could at least do that throughout the term if Trump goes earlier. Misha's been exploring his options since losing his Ukrainian citizenship last week, and it seems that regarding Georgian citizenship, that is one of the remote contingencies. His lawyer requested that Georgia courts postpone his embezzlement charges, but this request was rejected. Misha's situation was also reportedly raised in the meeting between Pence and the opposition leaders, and Radio Free Europe reported that in an interview between Pence and the opposition leaders, and Radio Free Europe reported it in the interview, President Margvelashvili appeared to leave the door open to Saakashvili to regain citizenship. More vocally, though, Misha has been railing against the state of Ukrainian democracy, denying any wrongdoing on his citizenship application, vowing to find a way to return, saying because he was a border guard in Ukraine and back in the old days, he knows all the entrances and exits. Ha ha ha. Ukrainian prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko, however, has stated that if Misha returns, he'll be extradited to Georgia. Misha has a year on his U.S. visa to make a decision. He stated that he will not apply for asylum. He is also in conversations with Lithuania, but they worry about their relations with the current Tbilisi government, and also, to be honest, aren't really excited about Misha hanging around Vilnius being Misha. The Abkhaz government made a loaded concession to its undocumented Georgian population. Citizenship will be provided to anyone who changes their identity to Abkhaz and applies to be president, thereby recognizing the legitimacy of the region's government. Abkhaz officials sold this as a generous offer, stating that there's no way anyone could assert that citizenship was forced on its Georgian citizens. The offer was also compared favorably by the officials to the time under Stalin and Laurent Iveria, when they claimed that Abkhazian names were forcibly changed to Georgian ones. However, this is a bit BS-y, given that living undocumented in Abkhazia comes with a long list of daily life struggles, including the inability to travel between Abkhazia and Georgia. Georgians in the region now have to make the hard choice between maintaining their legal identity and possessing documentation. Cemal Gamakhadia, deputy chairman of the Abkhaz Supreme Council at Tbilisi-based legislature, denounced the offer as a new form of discrimination. So far, at least 36 individuals have applied. Schools in South Ossetia will reduce the amount of curriculum taught in Georgian, even in areas heavily populated by ethnic Georgians. In place of Georgian textbooks, Russian and Ossetian materials will be used. Georgians will only be taught in a specific class for Georgian language study. In total, 8 schools are significantly affected for the 2017-18 school year, because the rest have been kicked out. The reason for the curriculum change given by the region's deputy education minister was the overall uniformity of South Ossetian schools so that students could meet state educational standards. Georgian students, she said, were not able to pass state exams due to their low Russian abilities. Also, Georgian Ossetian textbooks divided material and subjects differently, making it difficult to standardize tests and design universal curriculums. The minister also said that Georgian language history textbooks were biased against Russia and South Ossetia. Now that the ethnic cleansing approaches the decade mark in South Ossetia and 25 years in Abkhazia, and every day more Ossetian and Abkhaz Georgian language speakers die, they are hoping to accelerate the process. Language is a very, very important part of the ethnic cleansing plan. Also related to this region, on Thursday, 2 Georgian men were detained by South Ossetian border guards while grazing their cows near Plavismani village. The governor of Gori has stated that neither crossed the border. Both are currently being held by police. It's been announced that Vladimir Putin will visit Abkhazia on the 8th of August, the anniversary of the 2008 Russian-Georgian War. Negotiations have been scheduled with President Raul Khajimba. Negotiations, right? Meanwhile, Kerevan Tsikhalashvili, Georgian Minister for Reconciliation, has called the visit a deliberate provocation and part of the strategy that seeks to occupy and annex Georgia's historic territory. She nonetheless insisted that Georgia must not be provoked and keeping the peace was of vital importance. In related news, Tsikhalashvili also criticized engineering works around announced by the South Ossetian Security Service, which are scheduled to take place between the 3rd and 18th of August near the village of Artsebi at the border with Georgia. South Ossetia claims it's to improve fire protection, while Sikelashvili insists that it is part of Russia's creeping occupation. Otz Neba heads the list of the June political poll conducted by the caucus's Research Resource Center. 23% of respondents identified the party as the closest match. This is down from its April poll when it received 29%. UNM came second with 9% of the respondents, slightly down from the April's 10%. New Party, European Georgia, and Alliance of Patriots each received 4%. Labor Party received 3%. The biggest group by far, once again, was independents. 37% of respondents identified with no party, 13% that they didn't know or refused to answer. These low affiliation numbers help explain why 62% of respondents said they weren't sure who they would vote for in the next municipal election. Tbilisi residents asked about the mayoral elections favored field leaders Otz Neba's Kachika Ladze over independent Aliko Elisashvili, 37-22%. The poll was conducted nationwide using face-to-face interviews with 2,261 individuals. The link to the full survey results will be posted on our website. Also about the mayoral elections, Elisashvili continues to be the candidate making the most concrete promises. This week he said he would end the contract with City Park, the company responsible for regulating city parking and replacing it with a new and improved parking regulation system. Nobody has been happy with City Park, but the fine for breaking the current contract is 25 million lari and has restrained the current administration. Although City Park has violated that, and it would be easy for them to get lawyers and not have to pay that, in my view. Also in transportation, the company BGEO Group and its subsidiary JSC Bank of Georgia won a contract to modernize Tbilisi's public transport payment system. It hopes to update the payment processing using Visa and MasterCard, create a digital platform for ticket reservations and purchases through mobile phone applications. This also means that Bank of Georgia will continue as the sole provider of payment support services to Georgia's public transportation network and operate the mass retail branches in Tbilisi metro stations for the next 10 years. The bank will pay 22 million lari for this right. Anaklia Development Consortium signed an agreement appointing U.S.-based SSA Marine as terminal operator for the Anaklia Deepwater Black Sea Ports container terminal in Poti. This terminal will establish a new maritime corridor between China and Europe in the hopes of stimulating economic growth. The port also desires a trade link which avoids both Russia and Turkey. The agreement with SSA Marine deepens U.S. involvement in the Anaklia Port project. Already involved is Conti International, a major U.S.-based developer of infrastructure and capital projects. Conti International is co-leading the project together with Georgia-based TBC Holding. During Pence's visit, he hailed the port as important for bilateral relations and for U.S. business interests in Georgia. Phase one of the operational launch of the port is scheduled to begin by 2021. Lots more fires this week. Most recently, the headquarters of opposition media outlet Rustavi Ori was affected. According to witnesses, a storage room of the TV station caught fire shortly after midnight on the 26th of July. Broadcasting was suspended. 40 square meters burned before crews extinguished the blaze. Some computing equipment was also damaged. Because of the political location of the fire, the Ministry of Internal Affairs is launching an investigation for arson. This week, however, two have been arrested in conjunction with a big January Tbilisi market fire. A shopping center's head was charged with negligence, as a lot of fire codes were violated. A security guard was similarly charged with neglecting his duty. It's uncertain if these arrests will satisfy the vendors who have been protesting for more assistance since February. 12 cases of illegal logging in Kakheti have been reported by the Environmental Supervision Department. Trees in the area were cut down and transported without proper documentation. First-time offenders received a warning. Subsequent offenders are fined 500 lari, which is worth much less than one log. And is a ridiculous amount. Illegal logging is endemic environmental problem in Georgia and also one of the most lucrative and corrupt businesses in that country and has been forever. So it would be nice if the environmental ministry would get on the ball. It's increased over the past 20 years, causing extensive damage to forests. At least 9,000 hectares have been lost between 2001 and 15, according to the NGO Global Forest Watch. 2016, the Ministry of Environment cited over 2,800 logging violations. Nobody has been thrown in jail. Prosecutors have not gotten involved. An ongoing archaeological excavation near the Black Sea village of Tsikiziri in Ajada has recently produced its oldest finds. Weapons, tools, coins, and household objects from the 6th century castle at Petra represent the most significant discovery in the two-year project. Burnt bones have been found alongside daggers, axes, arrowheads, and fragments of armor, raising the possibility that the remains are those of warriors who died defending the now-ruined tower. The burning of this tower is likely to have occurred during a conflict over the region between the Persian-Byzantine empires. The excavation will continue its 400,000 lari allotted for restoration works this year. The dig will then be followed by the development of a visitor center and other tourist facilities. The Ingureshi area, centered on the Inguri Dam, is slated to become a world-class tourist attraction, according to the Prime Minister. Fidikashvili believes development here will have a significant economic impact. Current estimates are for 400,000 annual tourists to visit the region. The proposed facilities lie along the already popular tourist route into Upper Svaneti. These will include a museum and tourist information venue, concert space, extreme sports infrastructure, and a 280-meter elevator that will allow visitors to see areas of the dam previously accessible only to workers. The estimated cost of the project is 50 million lari. It's expected to be completed within 5 years. Inguri, fully opened in 1987, is the world's second largest concrete arch dam. And in 2015, it was included on the list of Georgia's cultural heritage sites. The electricity it generates is shared between Georgia and Abkhazia, with the underground power station located within Abkhazia and the dam itself in Djivadi in Georgia. Last week in Bordeaux, France, the Bordeaux that's in France, not the Bordeaux that's in Arkansas, the museum and gallery La Citouvin opened a three-month exhibition on the history of Georgian winemaking. The display includes Kvevri storage vessels, over 100 archaeological exhibitions, photographs, and artwork telling the story of 8,000 years of wine in Georgian culture. The exhibition is titled Georgia Cradle of Viticulture and will run until November 5th. This is a big deal. French wine institutions usually overlook Georgia. Last year, the museum was visited by 40,000 people. So any people you know in Bordeaux or passing through, tell them to take a look. Further wine news, Guangdong province in southern China recently hosted several Georgia-themed wine events as part of the Guangdong Georgian Wine Tour this year. China has already imported 3.8 million bottles from Georgia, a 104% increase on last year, and is expected to surpass Ukraine as the second largest export market for Georgian wine. This trend is likely to continue with the recent free trade agreement between the two countries, granting Georgia improved access to China's enormous market. Georgia has claimed the champion's title at the Cadet European Championship for Junior Wrestling in Sarajevo with 69 total points, 6 medals. Georgia edged out the second place Russia, awesome, and third place Hungary, even better. Greco-Roman athletes Gyorgy Shotanze and Becca Guruli both took gold. Georgia had a similar success at the Youth Olympic Fest in Hungary, with Georgians winning seven medals in judo, four of those gold. In parliamentary news, the drama between the president and parliament is playing out on lower levels. Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze and the president's parliamentary secretary, Anna Dolidze, formerly head of GILA and general person about town, faced off this week in a discussion about the presidential veto of amendments to the self-governance code reported last week, which would reduce the self-governing cities from 12 to 5, because Otsneva is afraid they're going to lose those elections. In an official speech, Dolidze criticized Kobakhidze, said he was being rude. As a result, Otsneva MPs made a formal statement saying that Dolidze violated relations between the ethics and constitutional institutions and inappropriately offended the speaker. Kobakhidze then made the news network rounds, bashing Dolidze and the president. Meme this week is an image circulated in response to Pence's visit of questionable meaning, but it was certainly circulated around a lot. It shows a kayak being circled by three sharks. The kayak is placed next to a Georgian flag. The three sharks are connected to Russia, America, and the EU flag. Okay. Stuff to read. The New York Times puts out a piece nailing the contradictions and instabilities between Pence's pro-NATO statements in Georgia and Trump's record of pro-Russian and anti-NATO statements. It argues that some unity in statements has to be achieved if other countries are to believe the U.S. at all, because they certainly don't believe Trump, least of all Angela Merkel, who's the one who matters most. Misha's citizenship drama has sparked several analytical articles. Most focus on the current state of Ukraine rather than Georgia. One of the best summaries and analysis comes from Foreign Policy. Good profile piece of Misha in New York. Check out the 2014 feature from the New York Times. Covered his previous period of U.S. exile while he's sort of flitting around sort of Williamsburg and Brooklyn and, you know, being the cool exiled president. Georgia Today posted an interview with the new German ambassador to Georgia, Heike Pichy, about bilateral relations, among other things. She spoke about promoting Georgian language education, German language education in Georgia, and continuing to fund Georgia's economic development and EU aspirations. Soviet tourism blog Concrete and Kitsch published a comprehensive guide on brutalist architecture in Tbilisi, competing with lots of photos. The guide includes snippets of history about the chosen buildings. All the stuff to read is in our forum. This week's dive bar number is $2.27 billion. That's the amount of money the World Bank has made available to Georgia in loans since 1992. This week, that number increased by $50 million. New funds are part of the second programmatic private sector competitiveness development policy operation, brilliantly named. It's just a new general loan pool for economic projects tied to private and public reforms made available to businesses with the aim of long-term private sector growth and increased free trade. 2 years ago, the $60 million were allocated to Georgia for the first installment of the project. The Black Sea International Folk Festival will run from the 31st of August to the 2nd of September with concerts at Summer Theater in Batumi and the Black Sea Arena in Çeşmeli. The new Georgian performers will be joined by musicians and dancers from Armenia, Spain, Italy, Turkey, Poland, and Ukraine. The gala concert on the 2nd of September will feature Spain's popular La Moneta and Flamenco Ensemble. State Ballet of Georgia will run an open workshop targeted at foreigners between the 28th of August and 1st of September. It costs 200 euros to attend the entire workshop. Some discounts are available. This workshop is a trial of a potentially regular event run in collaboration with a travel company called DUS Travel. This should be kind of cool. Check it out if you're interested in Georgian dance. For dog people among listeners, the group Dog Organization Georgia, an even better name than the goofy World Bank one, is holding a special event entitled Cocktails and Dogtails this Saturday, the 5th of August. Headquarters on Lisi Lake. It's a thank you for members who have worked to reduce the number of street dogs in Tbilisi and open to the public. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK, that's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from Kevin Morby, this is Harlem River.
1, 2, 3, 4. Talk to me, tell me what you think about Harlem River. I'm in love, 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 love. Harlem River, talk to me, where are we headed now? Harlem River, I'm in love, 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 love. because of you. In my pearl, in my diamond shoes, I've climbed a cloud, now I've stole the moon. Harlem River, all because of you. Down now in the Harlem River, give me wings, put my head up in the clouds in the Harlem River, all because, oh, I'm nowhere now. Harlem River, tell me, is it true that in my pearl and my diamond shoes, I've climbed a cloud, now I've stole the moon. Harlem River, all because of you. I ride for you, I ride.